top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is a prime evening news for today, Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, and I'm your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, United Workers Party political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine criticizes the impact of Dominica's CBI program, which he sees as benefiting only a select few, not the majority of ordinary Dominicans.
Right on cue.
Jamaica is assessing the economic impacts of the closure of Sangster International Airport runway for performing an audit of operational safety, which led to flight cancellations and diversions.
Top of the hour.
And Louisville, Kentucky faces anger after students were left stranded due to a transportation disaster involving a new technology-based bus routing system and a shortage of bus drivers.
Right on cue.
The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
Dr. Thompson Fontaine, political leader of the United Workers Party, delves into a critical analysis of the impact of Dominica's Citizenship by Investment CBI program. He underscores a concerning disparity between those who have profited from the program and those who have not. Dr. Fontaine laments that the broader Dominican population has not reaped substantial benefits from the CBI initiative. He raises thought-provoking questions regarding how this dynamic can be reversed and how Dominica can shift directions towards a more equitable path.
A whole population of Dominica has not really benefited as much from the CBI program. Those who have benefited are the guys, the slick sellers that we see on YouTube in their $15,000 suits, peddling our passports, making millions, you know, guys like the Haydens building two high-rise buildings in downtown Dubai. You know, these are the people who have benefited immensely from the sale of our passports and not our people. So how do we reverse that? How do we look forward? How do we look past what we now have? And I think where I think about our taking our salvation into our own hands, we have to start with electoral reform.
Dr. Fontaine emphasized that the citizens of Dominica possess the power to make informed decisions through their votes. He underscored the need for a government that genuinely prioritizes the welfare of its people and advocates for their interests above all else. He critically addressed the actions of the current DLP administration, pointing out instances where this commitment to the public welfare appears to be seriously lacking. He expressed incredulity at what he perceives as a lack of consideration for the local population, denoting a perceived disregard for the best interests of the Dominican people.
Where the people of Dominica can vote their consciences, because what you really want is a government that cares about the people, a government that will be looking after the interests of the Dominican public first. And this government does not, in so many ways. When you consider the fact, Mr. G, that you want to put an extra 100 feet on the airport and you import a whole company from Barbados to do that, not only do you import the company, you import the trucks, you import the truck drivers, you import the backhoe drivers, you import the guys to mix the cement, you import the guys to carry the water from the river. It is unthinkable that the government could be so uncaring about its own people, where you have truckers, where you have people with the equipment.
UWP political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Raleigh Leslie, who holds the position of Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Technology at the Dominica State College, advocates for increased emphasis on funding in the realm of technology within agricultural education. He emphasized the need to shift the perception of agriculture from mere manual labor with tools like forks and spades to a comprehensive advance technologically in field. Mr. Leslie envisions a curriculum that equips students with the understanding that agriculture encompasses a wide spectrum of activities, including smart techniques and business-oriented approaches.
We would like to see just more inclusion, or I can say investment, in the technological aspect of agriculture right here, the use of small machines, because we do not want students to perceive agriculture as a fork and a spade. And you notice the internship report is showing, no, that's not all. Agriculture is so broad and so wide, and that's what we want to do. So that's what we'd like to see, that's what we'd like to do, more investment in that aspect of agriculture. So when students come here, they see it not just as just working hard, but working smart and doing things in a business fashion.
Mr. Leslie stressed the importance of integrating business education into the curriculum for all technical students prior to their graduation from the institution. He advocated for a holistic approach that empowers students to think entrepreneurially and establish their own businesses.
I always say that the government cannot engage and employ everybody who graduates from college, neither the private sector. So we are opening the students' mind to create their own business, and we have success stories up there. Interestingly enough, some of the students, they get into work life and they have a little business on the side, meaning that they are involved in it. So, and the automobile student to that, the agriculture student, the engineering students, every single one of them must get that business touch.
Raleigh Leslie, Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Technology at the Dominica State College. Dr. Irvin McIntyre, representing the Cochrane constituency, sheds light on a recent development in the agricultural sector. He reveals that a substantial investment of $500 million was injected into Dexia, aiming to streamline payment processes for farmers. This move holds paramount significance as it addresses a common concern among farmers, ensuring prompt compensation for their delivered produce. Dr. McIntyre emphasizes a synergy between the scientific aspect, including diverse inputs from the Ministry of Agriculture, and the technical expertise offered by extension officers.
Last week, as a matter of fact, we put $500 million with Dexia so that farmers can get paid within 48 to 36 hours. So, because the last thing a farmer wants is when he gets his produce and he can't get paid. So to recognize, to rectify that problem, we put $500 million with Dexia. So no farmer is going to bring stuff and say that he didn't get paid. So that part is dealt with. The science part is being dealt with. The different inputs from the Ministry of Agriculture that comes together is being dealt with. The technical aspect from the extension officers. So all of this put together is what will help us to recognize.
Dr. Irvin McIntyre, Rose of Valley Parliamentary Representative. Attorney Gabriel Christian advocates for the engagement of young individuals in youth and civic groups, cautioning against succumbing to distractions like parties and celebrations. He suggests that the current regime has strategically used such diversions to manipulate and control the populace, urging them to resist this influence. Christian calls on fellow Dominicans to liberate themselves from these manipulative tactics, encouraging them to free their minds from the grip of partisan influences and work towards a more independent and enlightened perspective.
And so we have urged always for our young people to get involved in Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, Cadet Corps, youth organizations, civic organizations. Do not allow themselves or yourselves to be beguiled by Jump Up and CO and Borta, because that is the way the regime has crafted a very crafty strategy to whap and twist your minds so you can be clay, malleable in its hands, pervert your minds, and make you what, a puppet to be pulled on a string. So today, or this evening, we are asking Dominicans to take that scissors and to cut that string, to break those chains around your minds, to do what Bob Marley asked us to do, to engage in a revolutionary transformation of our minds, to purge our minds of that evil partisanship.
Attorney Gabriel Christian, during the recent groundbreaking ceremony held earlier today for the Shotwell Feeder Road in Bellevue, Chopin, the parliamentary representative for the Petit Savan constituency, Julian Defoe, emphasized the crucial nature of the Lubia to Bagatelle Road as a strategic primary road and network that must undergo repairs due to the devastation caused by both Hurricane Maria and Tropical Storm Erica. Defoe underscored the significance of identifying an alternate route during the rehabilitation process to ensure the continued livelihood of local residents and minimize disruption during the course of the repairs.
This Lubia to Bagatelle Road has been a critical strategic primary road network to undergo repairs from devastation of both Tropical Storm Erica and Hurricane Maria. It is important that while this road is being rehabilitated, we find an alternative route to ensure continued livelihood of our people and minimum disruption during the construction. So here we can see this farm access road serving another a very important function, though I must say coincidentally, but welcome nonetheless. The rehabilitation of Shotwell Feeder Road will therefore provide substantive benefits to our constituencies that are increasing residentially. New farmers enterprise, the expansion of traditional, natural, environmental friendly farming systems as the organic farmers pursued by many in the Shotwell area. And I must say, in interaction with the farmers, we do have a large cadre of farmers practicing organic agriculture in this area.
Defoe asserts that the government is cognizant of the pivotal requirement for the preservation and maintenance of farm access roads. It is claimed that they have formulated a comprehensive strategy aimed at attaining the objective of augmenting the agricultural sector's contribution to the gross domestic product by 700 million by the year 2030.
As a government, we are conscious of the critical need for the maintenance and upkeep of our farm access roads. And we have prepared a roadmap for pursuing the target for the agricultural sector to contribute $700 million to the gross domestic product by 2030, consistent with the wider CARICOM single market and economy goal, which is 25 by 25 initiative to reduce the import bill by 25% by the year 2025, which is merely 1 year and some months away, so not even fully two. Farm access improvement is therefore one of the key actions for us at the ministry to meet this target. And you must appreciate that knowing what the terrain of Dominica is. We know that most of our local access roads were built by Kudme, and I'm sad to say, something that is leaving us now, but it's something that we need to revive. Or the voluntary services of members of the local community and the cost of maintenance and upkeep of these roads have been dependent on the efforts of village councils and farmers with limited financial resources to do so.
Parliamentary representative for the Petit Savan constituency, Julian Defoe, host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, Pastor Randy Rodney, has a question regarding how the incumbent DLP regime led by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett wants to lead the charge in conducting consultations on electoral reform. This question arises from the fact that the whole issue of electoral reform was brought up due to allegations that the same party was not conducting elections properly.
How does the incumbent party, led by Roosevelt Skerrett, conduct consultation on electoral reform when the whole question of electoral reform began with saying that the same party is not doing elections right? In other words, they are hoodwinking people and winning by any means necessary. How does that happen? How does it happen that the umpire is the star batsman of the same team? Tell me. I don't know whether we are learning or whether we are learning from stupid people or whether we are becoming stupid or we're going to be more stupid. How does the umpire become the star batsman of the team and you expect to get a just result? There's no food umpire. There's no umpire with no interest in the game. The star batsman, the captain of the batting team, is the umpire and the in the wicket. And that is not a limited over match. It's not even a test match. It's a forever and ever, amen, match. Tell me, how are you going to expect to get anything that is not what the star batsman of the batting team wants?
Pastor Rodney has recommended that the citizens of Dominica actively participate in the consultations regarding electoral reform in order to ensure that their voices are heard.
You know, some of us are sitting down there and we are blind, or we are dumb, or we are We have been zombified. We have been sukuyanized. I do not know what is it that we have. Somebody give you some water to drink, that do tissue. Something happened where some of us are just not thinking for ourselves, and we need to rise up to think. So here are my advice to you in this consultation. Every group of people they invite, even if you don't get an invitation, go. So if you're a lawyer, if you don't get an invitation, you're a lawyer, go. You are a church person, a pastor, whatever, if you get an invitation, go. You're whatever, if you get an invitation, go. All of you must go and make your point. Now, if it is about them telling you about that report again, that's not a consultation. It's bringing you a class to teach you what they want you to learn. But if it is a session where they're really consulting with you and expecting you to respond and ask questions and give you advice and so on, go.
Pastor Randy Rodney, leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito, stated during the electoral reform consultation on Tuesday that even a minimal engagement of the diaspora to the island will somewhat tilt the playing field towards fairness. Ito emphasized that the Dominican public must acknowledge the realities of being a microstate and refrain from pretending that the rules of a larger state like the United States can be applied to Dominica.
Having a minimal annual engagement with the island will in some small way tilt the playing field towards fairness. We therefore support the proposal of 90 days in the legislature. My friends, we must accept the realities of being a microstate and stop pretending that the sort of rules that apply to an enormous country like the United States can apply to us without intelligent thought. The US can allow unregulated overseas voting, because in almost no election can these votes be the determining factor. The percentage of these votes to the over 300 million Americans at home is minuscule. But in Dominica, the situation is reversed. There are provably more Dominicans living overseas than on island. Overseas voters thus have the ability to determine almost every election in our tiny constituencies, almost all of which can have radically different outcomes by the swing of a few hundred overseas voters. Is this fair? I ask you, is this right? We say no. And the initial framers of our electoral laws grasp this.
A leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Bernard Ito. Attorney at law Gildon Richards believes there should be a fixed date for elections every 5 years. He says this is one of the most fundamental changes needed if the people are to have true control over of the election process. He was speaking at the first of a series of DLP government-led consultations to discuss the electoral report and draft laws and regulations proposals presented by Sir Dennis Byron.
I do not believe, and it's not personal what I'm going to say, I do not believe the Prime Minister should hold election date in his pocket at his convenience to be declared whenever he so chooses. Anybody can see the unfairness in this, because the Prime Minister is likely to choose the day that is most suitable to him, but most inconvenient to his opponents. I pray that we give serious consideration to this recommendation.
Dominican lawyer Gildon Richards. A recent study conducted by the World Health Organization and published in The Lancet Global Health reveals that almost 1 in 3 men over the age of 15 have contracted at least one type of genital human papillomavirus, HPV. Furthermore, 1 in 5 men have been infected with one or more high-risk oncogenic HPV types. These findings highlight the significance of including men in the efforts to control and reduce the incidence of HPV-related disease in both genders. While most HPV infections are asymptomatic and resolve without treatment, certain types can lead to cancer or anogenital warts. HPV is the primary cause of cervical cancer in women, resulting in over 340,000 deaths annually. In men, more than 69,400 cases of cancer were caused by HPV in 2018, including penile, anal, oral, or throat cancers, estimated by AIRC. In other news this evening, Jamaica is preparing to assess the economic consequences of the recent temporary shutdown of Sansta International Airport runway. The closure led to flight cancellations and diversions, leaving numerous travelers stranded. Transport Minister Daryl Vaz stated that the Ministry of Tourism is currently compiling data to gauge the economic impact of the incident. An operational safety audit and assessment is underway at the airport, which will determine accountability for the events that caused the runway closure. Minister Vaz received a preliminary report on the matter and has initiated an independent audit, with the results set to be delivered by August 31st. The final report will shed light on the cause of the issue, as the initial report did not provide detailed information regarding the responsibility.
Obviously, because the majority of the passengers are tourists, and of course the hotels are involved, because obviously throughout the whole schedule, persons had to try and check back into hotels. There were no hotel rooms. I mean, it goes, once that happens, it is just, everything goes awry. So, Minister, I'm depending on Minister Bartlett, and he has indicated to me yesterday that we will have that information in short order. The audit and assessment for the operations and safety will tell me definitively, with documentary evidence, by the 31st of August. And of course, obviously, based on the incident and the fallout and the reputational damage, and of course, all that happened with the passengers and the airlines, etc., then obviously the concessionaire has other things that he has to take into consideration as well. Now, I have not gotten a report from the contractor, which is what I asked for as well, to be included in this audit and assessment, because the bottom line is the contractor would play a special role in terms of information from his standpoint in relation to what transpired.
And still in other news, there is anger in Louisville, Kentucky, after many students were left stranded last week due to what officials call a transportation disaster. One major failure was a new bus routine system relying on technology, and another was a shortage of school bus drivers, an issue that is also seen in communities far beyond Kentucky. Adriana Diaz reports.
Seen at a packed school board meeting just last night, where students and parents voiced their outrage and concern that the schools still remain shut down today. One major failure was a new bus routing system relying on technology. Another is a shortage of school bus drivers, a problem that we're also seeing in communities far beyond Kentucky. Adriana Diaz is in Louisville for us with more on this story. Adriana, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gail. Most public school students here, 70%, rely on school buses. Part of what happened here is that a driver shortage forced the school district to reduce and merge its bus routes. They had it all mapped out, but the rollout last week was so chaotic, most of school this week had to be canceled.
This is how Latasha Gomez's kids are spending what should be their first full week of school, passing the time at their mom's nail salon.
So how frustrated are you?
I'm very frustrated. I feel like when I expressed it with someone over the phone in transportation, she kind of just blew me off, kind of like, it is what it is. Nothing is going to change.
A new bus route plan in Kentucky's Jefferson County, meant to make the bus system more efficient, backfired last week, in part because its computer algorithms didn't factor in enough time between stops, causing massive delays and worry among parents.
He didn't get home till after 7 o'clock, and it was horrible because I had no clue where he was.
Students like sophomore Bailey Kaiser addressed officials at last night's school board meeting.
The last student got home on the first day at nearly 10 o'clock. And as a student myself, I can say that this is absolutely unacceptable.
School Superintendent Marty Polio says the mess was driven in part by a bus driver shortage.
One of the greatest errors I think we had last week was not having effective communication with families, and we are correcting that.
It's not just Louisville. Chicago public schools say they only have half the drivers they need, and classes start next week. There have been delays up to an hour long in Knox County, Tennessee. And in New York City, there's a looming strike by school bus drivers.
Every city and every state in the country is suffering from this.
Joanna McFarland is CEO of Hop Skip Drive, a student transport service that also tracks school bus data. She says the driver deficit has been a problem for years, but the pandemic made it even worse, with drivers retiring early or leaving the industry altogether.
You can make far more money and work far more hours working for Amazon or trucking or shipping or e-commerce or other activities.
A top issue is pay. The average bus driver's salary last year was about $42,000, and that's only if a driver works full-time. Many do not. In Louisville, Superintendent Polio says a bus system meltdown will never happen again.
We're going to have extra buses and vans, at our depots.
I do understand that the shortage.
But you want them to do better.
I want them to do better because it's trickling down to the safety of our kids.
Parents like Latasha Gomez want schools to practice what they teach and come up with creative solutions. The school district says it is launching an app that will allow parents to track their kids' buses, which will be a relief to many.
And that's the Prime Evening News, but first here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers Party political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine criticizes the impact of Dominica's citizenship by investment program, which he sees as benefiting only a select few and not the majority of ordinary Dominicans. Jamaica is assessing the economic impacts of the closure of the Sangster International Airport runway for performing an audit of operational safety, which led to flight cancellations and diversions. Louisville, Kentucky faces anger after students were left stranded due to a transportation disaster involving a new technology-based bus routing system and a shortage of school bus drivers. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. I have been your presenter, Jade George.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.